fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I hope you had an opportunity yesterday to celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Now to celebrate in a way that you can really allow the Lord to speak to your heart. I hope that happened yesterday. You could see God's amazing plan, his work of salvation through Jesus applied to Mary. Isn't it amazing what God can do? It's literally the merits of Jesus, his death and resurrection. He's the only Savior of the world. He saves Mary before he's even born, because God the Father, who's outside of time and eternity, applies the merits of the victory of Jesus Christ to Mary at her own conception. And Jesus saves her. He saves her from original sin so that God's plan can be fulfilled in her. Mary's the quintessential disciple. You know, we talk a lot about on the program being disciples and being intentional disciples. And the church exists. The reason I talk about it so much is the church exists to make disciples, and you're the church. To be a disciple simply means to be a follower of Jesus, someone whose life is now directed to the person of Jesus, and we're following him, we're identifying with him. Our life is now completely identified with him. I love the Romans passage that the Catechism refers to in talking about this Jesus' resurrection and ascension and the glory and what really life is about. Why did he die and live again? Here's Paul in Romans chapter 14, verse 7. He says, none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Now that's the mind of a disciple. Christ is everything. Not just because Jesus calls us to see it that way, but when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to who Jesus is, that's the game changer. He is Lord of all. It's hard for us. It's impossible, actually, for us to grasp that without the help of the Holy Spirit. But just the title Lord, there are no lords in America. I mean, we have presidents and, you know, CEOs and people who are in charge of different things and generals and the rest. But the term Jesus is Lord, the cry Jesus Christ is Lord, was the fundamental cry of the early church. To break that down, Jesus Christ Lord, it's a summary of what's at the very essence of Christianity, the essence of what we believe. And we follow Jesus, who is the Christ and who is Lord. St. Peter on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, that day when the Holy Spirit was poured out, Peter declared under the anointing of the Spirit what Jesus had commissioned him to preach, to announce the truth, the fact that God has made Jesus, Mary's son, Lord and Christ. Lord means all authority and power belong to him. As I mentioned on Monday, reading from the Catechism, maybe we'll read a little bit about it today as well, that all power and authority has been given to Jesus, and that he has authority, power, and dominion over all things. And he has the authority and the commission from the Father to break all rebellion everywhere that's against the Father and the Father's will. And so we'd say he will come again to judge the living and the dead. There's a judgment coming by the one who has authority to exercise that judgment. And that's what it means that Jesus is Lord. He's the head now of everything. And in his position of lordship and authority, he's dealing with all the rebellion that's against God. He's dealing with Satan and his kingdom. He definitively defeated it on the cross. At the end, when he comes again in glory, he'll finally destroy him in his hold. We're now at a time when the major battle has been won, but there's skirmishes. We live in the midst of spiritual skirmishes and battle for our own souls. This time of mercy, this final stage of history that Advent helps us lay hold of again and to see very clearly. So he's Lord and he's Messiah. Messiah means he's the one anointed with the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit given by the Father through the Son, united to human flesh in the person of Jesus, friends, that makes salvation possible. That's why there's no Savior other than Jesus in the world. There isn't. There never was, and there never will be. Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. everyone else, there might be good teachers, wise religious teachers who made a contribution to God's overall purpose in the world, but it's only Jesus that can save us, because writings don't save us, teaching doesn't save us, prayer, you know, particular forms of prayer don't save us, or meditation or fasting. What saves us is God. God's action through his Son, and salvation comes when we become something that our prayers can't make us, that our efforts can't make us. What do we become? We become a new creation. We're made new because the old man has been put to death and we come alive by the Spirit. There's a new life principle in us that's participating and sharing in the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus reigns, and he reigns in power, and he has within him the power to give life, the scripture says, to whomever he chooses. And so that life is the Spirit that he pours out. So unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, Jesus said, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. The born again by water is putting yourself, being put to death and sharing in Christ's crucifixion and rising to new life in the power of the Spirit. So Jesus Christ is Lord is the cry of the early church, and they understood that so deeply. And then each person is able to apply that truth to their own life. Jesus Christ is my Lord. So back to Romans 14. Again, verse 8. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Okay, everyone who's listening today is living, right? The question is, are we living to the Lord? Are we living for the Lord? Is the Lord the center of our life and reality? Or does he get in the way? Does he get in the way of our plans and all the obligations of the church, mass every Sunday, and you know, I've got to give some of my money and my time, and gosh, there's so many other things I'd rather do than to think about these things. Where's your heart? Jesus is always concerned about where is your heart. Where's my heart? Jesus has come to manifest the intentions of the heart. John's gospel says Jesus knows what is in man. Have we come to terms with the resistance that's within us? The resistance to the will of God. The desire in your heart to be God. You say, oh, come on, I'm not. Yeah, that's in you. You got to confront that. You have to come to terms at some point in saying, I really do want to be on the throne of my life. And if I'm honest with myself, there's something really deep in me that wants to pursue power, pleasure, honor, freedom, absolute, total freedom that this world is promising me that I can have. All of that. That's there. Jesus comes to reveal to us that truth, the resistance that we have to God the Father. And God the Father's complete authority over our lives. And the reality, the truth that we were made to live for the praise of his glory. That's what we should be doing. That's what it should be our heart's desire. I want to be like you, with you. I want to honor you in everything that I do and say. That's what we were made for. But there is within us a deep resistance to that. And that's what makes us God's enemy. When we're connected to the world, the first letter of John says this line that said, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Friendship with the world, that is, that the drives in this fallen existence that we have to pursue the things I was describing, honor, pleasure, power, wealth, you know, all of that. That our hearts are really set on those things, and our hearts are not really set on God, so half-heartedly, you know, throwing a bone to him on occasion. Jesus comes in his mercy to reveal that fact. Friends, that's a horrific thing. We don't see it very clearly. And Jesus comes to show us that it is a very serious thing, that it's evil and wicked, as scripture says, to in our hearts to resist God like that. To not want to be what God wants us to be is a really bad thing. It's the reality of sin at work within us. For example, here's Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. This is Jeremiah speaking prophetically to the people of Israel, God's chosen people. He said, your wickedness will chasten you, and your apostasy will reprove you. Know and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. The fear of the Lord is no longer in you. Jeremiah 17:5. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart turns away from the Lord. We don't realize it until we see the cost of it, and that is Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus dies the sin. I'm meant to die, you're meant to die, because of this thing within us, the sin problem that causes us to fight against God. So Paul is telling us, if we live for God. And he goes on to say, for to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and of the living. What's Jesus after? What's God's commission to Jesus? Be Lord of everything. He's the Lord of the living and the dead. And the only question that matters in this world now, before we die, is Jesus Lord of my life? Is he Lord or am I Lord? If he's not Lord of everything, as the line goes, he's not Lord of anything, or something like that. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. A clever little way of saying really something that's very important. You're called to be his son, his daughter, his servant, and to call him Lord. Yesterday, reflecting on the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady and the grace that was at work in her, and she's a model for us of discipleship. You know, she's the first and perfect disciple, I think Pope Benedict said at one point. And she knows us, she knows our frame, she knows our weakness, she prays and intercedes for us. But here at the heart of God's grace is the model of what the Lord's looking for in each of us is revealed. Here, paragraph 494 from the Catechism. At the announcement that she would give birth to the Son of the Most High without knowing man by the power of the Holy Spirit, Mary responded with the obedience of faith. Certain that with God nothing will be impossible, she said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. So Jesus is coming to you, to me, calling us to repent, to turn to him, to have our imagination, our will, our desire, our drives directed toward being everything he calls us to be. And we can look at ourselves and say, Lord, it's just impossible. I'm too attached to too many things, and I'm a weak man. No, like Mary. Mary found out and believed he's the God of the impossible. And through the obedience of faith, she said, behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. So let that be your heart cry. Face the truth of what's going on inside. Confess it to Jesus and to say, Jesus, I hear you and I believe you're the God of the impossible. I invite you. I say yes to you, Jesus. Be it done unto me now, each day according to thy word. Make me everything the Father intends me to be for the praise of your glory. God bless you, friends. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization is Our Message, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.